Welcome back to Hope at Home. As you have noticed, we mentioned the Bible a few times. And I want to invite you, if you want to understand more of the Bible, visit hopebiblestudy.org. That's hopebiblestudy.org. And what we'll do right now at Hope at Home is that we will open the Bible. And the person that today will lead this moment will be Pastor Armando Miranda Jr. He's the youth leader in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the whole of the North American region. And right now, he will open and share from the Word of God.
For the last few months, we have been forced to adjust our lifestyles. Quarantine has become more than 40 days. Now it has been close to 4 or 5 months to some of us. And we simply see no end to this time with infections of COVID-19. The impact around the world has been felt, and I'm sure that some of you are feeling it too even more. I believe that this sickness has caused many of you to wonder about your future. So today, I want to have a conversation with you, first as a father of three, as a husband of one, and second as a pastor. Let me ask you today, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you holding up? How is your family doing? As a husband of one wife, yes, only one, praise the Lord. Let me tell you that this last few months have been an interesting path for us. We have been able to spend more time together, you know, probably since the time that we got married and before we had children. We had not spent this amount of time together this way. And it has been a way of learning each other's ways again. Yes, we have been married for about 17 years. And it is a new time because this is a different experience. She's working full time. I'm working full time. And we have three children. How to find time for our lives, how to find time to connect, even though we're in the same house. You know, we're in different rooms working on our own things. And at the same time, we have children, a 3-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 13-year-old. It has been a learning experience. We have had moments that, you know, we have struggled. And this is the thing about this. Quarantine life has actually given us some good lessons in love and in patience and wisdom. And our marriage has received a boost. I don't know if your marriage has received a boost or maybe has received a blast that has destroyed a lot of things in there. But I want to tell you today, I want to give you some hope for this today. As a husband of one wife and in this quarantine life, we have found that we have to pray a lot more. Pray for wisdom, pray for guidance. Pray for the love of God to come into our lives. Because if we don't have God in our lives, our marriage is going to disintegrate. And that is why this quarantine has been a relearning of a relationship between me and my wife. So if your relationship has been rocky, or if it has been a blessing, no matter your circumstance, I urge you to pray. I urge you to kneel down together because the couple that prays together stays together. As a father of three, this last few months have been quite, a journey. Sometimes it's tumultuous. Sometimes it's smooth sailing. There are storms. There are things that have come up that we had not seen before. And this is the reason that I believe that quarantine has been a blessing in our family of five with my three children. As I mentioned, I have a 3-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 13-year-old. And it is hard to put into words, but I'm sure that some of you can relate completely. How to manage, how to come together as a family to actually eat three meals together, to cook, to clean, to wash dishes, to make your beds, and to do all these things that make a family go. And usually during a normal situation, we would just, you know, do it very quick. And because they were in, at school and we were at work, we would see each other for a few hours. But now we have been in one place every single day for the last almost 5 months. I gotta say, I was excited about the possibility of spending more time with my children. And for the first few days, we were kind of like trying to feel out how we were going to make it work. They had school, we had work. And in all this, it was interesting to see because it was like a novel thing. And we were kind of excited that we were home and my children had more time to play. But then that created some talk about boundaries, talk about things that we needed to work on. Schedules, chores, you know, responsibilities. We worked to make that happen. And throughout the last 4 or 5 months, we have realized that we have become a more cohesive unit. There are still flare-ups. There are still moments where I kind of breathe in. And I know that you probably have gone through the same thing. You know, those moments when something happens, when your child gets into the nerves of the other child, when they are playing, but they don't agree of how to play, how long or what to play, when they get bored because they've been doing the same things for quite some time, and when they get on each other's nerves, and then you have, in my case, a three-year-old who's learning how to manage her energy. And while her brothers are doing homework or other things and parents are working, she is running sometimes wild in the house. Has it happened to you? Have you gone to the other room and have you seen, oh my goodness, I have to actually clean again. I just cleaned like 2 hours ago. And then my child just came and just made a mess. We are trying to teach our daughter as best as we can. But as a father, you know that a three-year-old takes some time and she's learning, praise the Lord. But I still step on Legos, on little, you know, dolls and things. And I'm like, ah, who left this? Well, have you felt that in the last few months? How are you holding up with that? Disciplining. You know, it has been a struggle to find out ways of how to communicate with our children and how to make them understand the responsibilities and the needs. But this is the thing. Through it all, I cannot give more thanks than I have to God because it has helped us to bond. It has helped us to come together, to work in a way that is like a well-oiled machine, you know, with some hiccups here and there, but we're making it. I don't know if that is your circumstance or maybe you're still trying to figure out how to help your children understand or how to put them to do things. But there is no secret pill. The only thing is consistency and love. Once again, if you love them, if you show them love, if you are trying to understand and trying to help and talk and communicate, I believe that that is going to turn around some of the things that are happening in your home like it did in mine. Once again, I'm not saying that we have it done perfectly. I tell you, there's some blasts within our family unit. There's some moments where you know, I try to believe that we're on the right path. And I cling to God in those moments and I pray and we cry together and my wife and I trying to figure out parenting. It has not been easy. And I'm sure many of you are facing the same dilemmas, the same situations, the same circumstances. But fear not, God is with you. He will give you what you need if you ask him to. So, as a father of three, I tell you, it has been a struggle. It has been situations that I look up to God and say, God, I need some help. I really need some help. And today I want to share with you something as a pastor that has helped me go through this situation. And I read from Jeremiah chapter 29. It's a famous verse. I learned this verse in a song. We were doing a vacation Bible school in our old church over there in South Texas when we were pastoring. And I remember this verse because that song stuck to my heart at that vacation Bible school. Yes, children memorize scripture to songs, and especially in vacation Bible school. That brings hope to the children in moments like this. So, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Of course, I'm not singing it, but it goes like this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, plans to give you hope and a future. They are plans for good and not for evil. Why? Because I have said so. And that is Jeremiah 29:11, sung on a vacation Bible school song that I learned about 12 years ago. But I want to read it again, and I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it now slowly. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is what the Lord has given you and me today. And, you know, throughout this last days, we are filled with uncertainty, with fear, with anxiety. Many of us have probably lost our jobs. Probably you don't know where the next paycheck will come so you can pay for some food. And there's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. Not only because of COVID-19, some of you may have lost someone. Some of you may have had this sickness and are struggling to get better. And it's tough to actually look at God and say, what are your plans, God? Where are you? And I read this and I think about this. Now, this text, I got to tell you, this text is very interesting. Usually when we read this text, we look at it and we say, well, this is the plans that God has for me. The context of this text, if you read the previous chapters in Jeremiah, it shows you that they are in captivity. The Israelites are in captivity in Babylon. They are slaves. They have been taken away from their land, and they are in a foreign land and with foreign gods and with foreign circumstances. It is not the ideal. It is not what they were expecting as children of God. And then suddenly God sends a message through Jeremiah and says, I have better plans for you. I have a better future for you. Do you trust me? And that is the thing today. Do we trust the God that has our lives in his hands? Do we trust his plans? Because he has said so. He has better plans for you and me. And just like the Israelites, you know, we may be struggling right now to see the future and say, I don't know what those plans are. I am stuck in a situation that I did not want to be in. I need a job. I need food. I need patience and wisdom to deal with whatever is happening at my home. I have anxiety. I have depression. I don't know how to cope with this. And when you hear these words, I have plans for you. I got to tell you today that God is true to his word because he does have plans. When you are uncertain, when you are in an uncertain moment in your life, know that he has a better plan for you. Yes, more abundantly than you could ever think. Better plans than you have for yourself for your life. And that is found in Jeremiah 29:11. When you feel that things cannot get worse, because it feels that it cannot get worse, but sometimes it does. Know that he will walk with you even though you walk through the valley of the shadow and death. And you should fear no evil, for God is with you. Yes, God is with you even through those valleys of the shadow of death. And that is found in Psalm 23:4. When you feel like you cannot cope, know that he knows your pain. Yes, he does. As he struggled with that, what lay ahead of him, he declared with agony. Remember that moment that he was right before he was going to be judged and taken to Calvary? He was struggling and he was saying, Lord, let it be your will and not my own. He knows how to cope with things because he went through that moment of almost death and death fully. But at that moment, right before, on a Thursday night, he was feeling the pain of having to carry every single sin and problem of the world. And he was able to get through, not because he wanted to, but because he trusted that God had a purpose for his pain. Now, it doesn't make sense. If you tell me, well, it's easy for you to say you're not sick. It's easy for you to say you still have a job. It's easy for you to say, you know, you don't have problems at home. I do have problems at home, but Pastor, you don't have the problems that I have. You don't have depression. It's easy for you to say those things. And yeah, for me, it may be easier to say those things. But I look at the Bible in Matthew 26 and the story of Jesus when he was going through the valley of shadow and death. He said, let it be your will. I don't know what's going to happen in full. And I don't want to die. But let it be your will. Let your will be done. Let this cup pass from me. And he did it knowing that this pain was worth it. And I don't know if we look at these things as worth it or not. Probably we're saying this is not worth it. Death is not worth it. And you may be right. But if there's someone who understands what you're going through, it's definitely Jesus, who went through death and he resurrected. Now, when you're struggling to find peace, he says to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, let not your heart be troubled. This is John chapter 14, 27. Those are words from Jesus to you and me today. When you're struggling to find peace, he says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. He's with you. He's walking with you. When you are anxious about your future, know this, and he says that to you today. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And you can find that in Philippians chapter 4, 6. Can you imagine that? Do not be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Man, it is hard to do this. Be anxious for nothing. How do you do that in these times? How do you cope? How do you go ahead? But he says, hey, just come to me in prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. And, you know, in the same way that he has said in Philippians chapter 4, 6, when you bring everything to God and you're not anxious, in chapter 4, verse 13, says something else. I can do all things, where you know that one. But in 19, this is where I want to go. The Lord will supply your need. He will supply everything that you need because of the riches and glory through Jesus Christ. This is the promise to you today. Be anxious for nothing. Bring your request to the Lord. Bring everything to his feet. And in 4:19, he will supply all your needs. And you say, well, I need him to supply him now. And believe me, I believe that he will supply. It's not because I say it. It's because the Bible says it. When you don't know where money will come from next, when you don't know, what I said, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I cannot tell you enough how many times has my account gotten very close to be right there on the limit. And sometimes I say, well, how is this going to happen? And you know, for some reason, it lasts, it extends, it goes through. Some news come. The other day, we were not struggling for food, but well, we ran out of vegetables in our house and fruits. You know, my children are eating a lot more. And, you know, we have a house full of five. And so we needed to go to a store, and suddenly someone comes with a bag of vegetables and say, yeah, by the way, we had extra, and so we thought that we should bring some to you. I was like, man, this is amazing. God is good. And I don't know if that is happening in your life or not, but I know that God will fulfill his promise by giving you what you need. So pray. Ask him. When you're fearful about even going outside, you know, some of you live in places that this is contagious. It's going all over the place. And you say, how are we going to make it? Even with a mask, some people are getting sick. Know that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. Yeah. God is with you and he is around you. Now, don't go out testing like, you know, like Jesus said to Satan, let's not tempt God. You know, in that moment when Satan says, just throw yourself, God will send his angels. That's what the Bible says. And he says it, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, delivers them. So don't be tempting God by going without a mask and not washing your hands and doing all that is required for you to be safe. Do what you need, but understand that God will protect you. The angel of the Lord encamps all around you. So when you feel like God does not hear your prayers and your pleas, remember this. I have been reading the Psalms with my children the last few weeks. And it's a roller coaster with David sometimes. Sometimes he's praising the Lord, and in the same psalm he's saying, but I am done. I cannot see you. And one of these psalms is Psalm chapter 40. Listen to this. When you feel like he does not hear your prayers, that God does not hear your prayers, and please remember that I waited patiently for the Lord. This is David, chapter 40. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Oh, many of you feel like you're in a horrible pit. Many of you feel like you're in the miry clay. You cannot get away from this mud. But God comes into your life. He listens to you. He inclines his ear to listen. He gives you a new song. He puts your steps upon a rock. This is the God that is with you today. When you're grieving the loss of a loved one, I have friends who have lost loved ones due to COVID-19. I have family members who are sick with COVID-19 right now in Mexico. This is no joke. To us, it hasn't been. And I got to tell you, to hear those who have lost people because of this, know that there will soon be a place where God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That is found in Revelation chapter 21. If you're grieving because you have lost someone, know that God is with you and he will wipe away those tears at that time. While you wait for that time and while you're crying and suffering here, know that he's with you. Like I said in the previous text, he's walking with you. He's, even though you walk through that valley of the shadow and death, he's right there with you. So today, no matter how you feel, no matter your circumstance, no matter if you're anxious or you're fearful or you're uncertain, you're hopeless, you're joyless, you're sad, God is still with you. And that changes everything because he is Emmanuel, God with us. He understands you and loves you. And that is the hope for today. He will never let you go. He will never let you be alone in this circumstance. Even though you may feel it like you have nobody. Even though you are in your room crying and saying, Lord, this is not good for me. Lord, this circumstance needs to pass and go away. Even though we may feel that way, God will never let you go. God will carry you with, you know, in his arms. He will walk with you in the darkness. And he will give you the strength to continue on until the next day and until the next day and until he comes. We have to trust him. We have to understand that no matter the circumstance, God is with us. And this is the hope for today. God is with us. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord sustain you. And if you have any doubt of him, go to his word. Many promises are there for you to know that he has better plans for you. Better plans with a hope and a future. More than you can ever imagine. Better plans, better than your plans. Just go to the word, read it, and find the hope that you need for today. May the Lord bless you at this moment.